A reading from Isaiah chapter 44. Hear, O Jacob, my servant, Israel, whom I have chosen. Thus says the Lord, who made you, who formed you from the womb and will help you. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, Jeshurun, whom I have chosen, for I will pour water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon your offspring and my blessing on your descendants. They shall spring up among the grass like willows by flowing streams. This one will say, I am the Lord's. Another will call on the name of Jacob. And another will write on his hand, the Lord's, and name himself by the name of Israel. Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. I am the first and I am the last. Besides me there is no God. Who is like me? Let him proclaim it. Let him declare and set it before me, since I appointed an ancient people. Let them declare what is to come and what will happen. Fear not, nor be afraid. Have I not told you from of old and declared it? Are you my witnesses? Is there a God besides me? There is no rock. I know not any. O Lord, have mercy on us. In many and various ways, God spoke to his people of old by the prophets.
But now in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
During the break between quarters, the King of Glory mosaic at the entry to the library was cleaned and restored. Over 50 years of exposure to the elements was removed, allowing the original brilliance of this mosaic to come back to life. The renovation of the library this past fall included a new entry sequence, placing this mosaic in the interior of the vestibule and bringing this campus icon in out of the elements. This mosaic illustrates these words of the Te Deum Laudamus. Thou art the King of glory, O Christ. Thou art the everlasting Son of the Father. Designed by artist Siegfried Reinhardt and executed on site by sculptor William Severson in the early 1960s, this mosaic portrays Christ as the King of glory, one hand raised in blessing, the other holding the book through which he is made known to man. The eternity of the Son of God and his meaning for all mankind is symbolized by the Alpha and Omega placed upon the open book. Christ, wearing the victor's crown, is the central and dominant figure. A careful study of the seemingly abstract forms which enclose the figure reveals the most ancient symbol of Christians, the fish. The off-round hemispheres upon which Christ stands symbolize the world over which he reigns. The tongues of fire from Pentecost are represented to the left of the Christ figure. The four crosses symbolize the four evangelists, and the dark circles on which they are imposed represent the four corners of the world. Indeed, from Jerusalem, the gospel went forth into all the world. This mosaic also serves as a visual exegesis of aspects of our text from Isaiah this morning. One generation had died in the wilderness to be replaced by another whom God would fulfill his promises. Centuries later, another unfaithful generation would be swept away. God would send the Babylonians against his unfaithful people. The armies of Nebuchadnezzar would destroy Jerusalem and carry the population of Jerusalem and the cities of Judah away captive. Isaiah predicted this disaster long before it occurred. One generation of unfaithful, rebellious sinners would experience the judgment of God, but the Lord would not forget his chosen people. A new generation would arise. On that new generation, God would pour out his spirit like one pours out water on the dry ground. God promises that his people would once again confess their faith in him, who is faithful. He has done more than make and shape his people, so he draws the attention of his people to all he has done and all that he would do. With a solemn introduction, "Thus says the Lord," God gives himself a series of significant names that help us understand what he has done for his people. He is the King of Israel. He has administered the affairs of his people. No single human king who ever ruled over God's people was a perfect king. They all had faults, some of them serious faults. The Lord, however, is the perfect, wise ruler of the people. He controls all the affairs of his people in a way that is best for them. He is also their redeemer and our redeemer. The word for redeem used here is a special word found repeatedly in the second part of Isaiah's prophecy. Altogether, it appears 24 times in chapters 40 to 66, yet only once in the first 39 chapters. The word emphasizes the activity of God. He and he alone must redeem his people after they have made themselves slaves by sin and rebellion. God would pay the price necessary to buy back his helpless people from the consequences of their own folly. Of course, the word points us ultimately to the redemption, the payment of God's own Son, made in order to secure the release of all humanity from sin. A payment coming into sharp focus as we near the end of our Lenten journey. He is also the Lord of hosts. Lord is that special name God revealed. He is Yahweh, the God of free and faithful grace, that is, the God of the covenant. He is the I Am who appeared to Moses. Additionally, he is all-powerful in that he controls the hosts of heaven. Such superiority is underscored by the next words, "I am the first and I am the last." Before the Israelites became a nation, before Abraham, before Adam, God is God. He existed before the words of Scripture in the beginning. God did not emerge from the history of the created world. He is independent of creation because he called everything into existence by his powerful word. These phrases encourage us to look ahead to the end of history too. When the last human is born, God still will be God. When the created world ceases to be, he will remain the first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. These terms stand in sharp contrast to any idols created by human hands. There is no God like the God of the Scriptures. The Lord says it so clearly here in Isaiah, "Besides me, there is no God." No one should have any doubt of that truth. But the sinful heart still resists that truth. To quell all doubts, God issues a challenge to those who trust in other gods and who have made idols. He challenges the false gods and those who believe in them to match his ability, specifically his power to care for his people in the past and to predict what will happen to them in the future. The God of the Scriptures is a God of action. He does things for the benefit of his people. Even more impressive, God foretells his actions before they take place. Can any God created by human thought claim to do that? No, such gods remain silent and mute. God acts because of his faithful love for his people. We receive all the benefits of that action. When God claims superiority over the false gods, it is not because he is a jealous God, unwilling to share his glory with another. His superiority assures his faithful people that he can take care of them. God encourages his people not to fear and tremble as they face the difficulties of Babylonian captivity or any other catastrophe or problem. When the flood of troubles roars as a mighty stream towards his people, God assures his people that he is the rock that remains. The waters may swirl fiercely around it, but the rock provides safety in the midst of life's surging troubles. For the Jews, the audience of our text, such a comfort was necessary as they faced captivity. Surely believers through the ages have not faced exactly the same difficulty as the Jews did in captivity. Nevertheless, God continues to be a rock who provides safety No matter what roaring streams of trouble rush toward us and future generations of God's people. There is no other rock. We need to hear that encouragement too. Fear not, nor be afraid. Our confidence and our hope is built on our King, the Lord of hosts, the Redeemer, the first and the last. He is our rock. Apart from him, no safety or redemption exists, because apart from him, there is no God. As you come and go from the library, may the King of Glory Mosaic be a constant reminder to you of who your Redeemer is. Thou art the King of Glory, O Christ. Thou art the everlasting Son of the Father. Amen.